Condensed into this two-week window.
Oh, is there on
Fifth? Yeah. No, not today. When were you there?
When I was in elementary school in Houston, we had those windows that opened out, and we had no air
conditioning. You can't open the windows for security.
We got air conditioning.
I just wanted to say hello. Oh, yeah. How are you?
So if you guys know of anybody that needs breast cancer, these came to the board.
Cindy, did Cindy come?
Board got them.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I invited you to lunch.
Yeah.
But
okay. Maybe when's the lunch?
It was September
10th.
Sorry, I wasn't here. Oh, hey.
What is that?
Oh, hey.
Howdy, how are you today?
Well, how are you?
All right, doing great. Tuesday, it's all good.
Am I going to see you tomorrow at the EDC roundtable?
It's on my calendar. We'll see. I've got like a couple things booked on that same thing. We'll have Martha Myers there for sure from the EDC. Good that you're going. It's important.
Hey, Charlie.
Lively room. That's a good sign.
Agreed. It's important. And that, you know, we started that new program too at MTC for instrumentation, which deals with the programmable logic controlling too, which is a big deal.
When I went to put that into my phone, it just pulled the time from the last one.
Probably.
I was kind of trying to catch up from your activists.
There was like 800 manufacturers that sold to Manatee. Most of them are small.
I want to last at the chamber.
Yeah.
Oh, you say all Saturday?
Well, I mean, I left the window to finish 1 o'clock. I mean, yeah. I think had I had like family and kids, I might have stayed after that. But it was good, the strategic planning breakout session.
I left right after Ken.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this should be a lot of good. I think everybody's excited about it.
Oh, he called it.
Yeah, I was in North Carolina.
It wasn't here.
All right, so Al and Charlie can't make it. Is that what you said?
Correct. Okay. They both sent emails that they were not going to be able to make it.
Okay. Brady and Mr. Chris.
Mr. Ballard's on the phone.
Bob and Brady. Did they RSVP?
Is Mr. Christopher on vacation? He is, right?
He told us that he wants to be there.
Right, but Brady, I did not hear from him.
Okay. We shall wait. All right. We'll call the meeting to order. So we have established there is a quorum. This is good there. Please note that this meeting will be audio recorded. And your comments will go on record. Some people will dial in and listen to it at a later date. Did everybody get a copy of the minutes? Everyone had a chance to review. Anyone have any comments? If not, I would love a motion to accept. Second. Have a motion to second. Any other conversation? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Minutes are approved. Thank you very much. Any public comments? I've not seen any.
No, I don't have any requests.
Public comments.
Nope.
All right. Thank you all. Old business. Climate survey. We want to discuss the climate survey that we've been over. How do we feel? Anybody have any comments?
Well, I submit our recommendations to the boys about the 2015 questions we would like to see included, as well as the new questions we would like to add. And I believe that one was forwarded on to the entire committee, so I don't know if you can see what we requested. I'm not sure if you guys have any ability to opine on that, if you've been able to look at those questions and say what you already were planning on including, or what is feasible to add.
I do. So, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So,
Mr. Wagner.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. So, I did. We did get a copy of it. It went to Kevin, who's undergoing this endeavor, Kevin Chapman. And so, the plan is that our plan is to survey all 7,000 employees. If you recall last time, and when we did it before in 2015, I believe it was, we surveyed 3,000 employees. So this time it's 7,000 employees. We also did last time 500 voters. This time we're doing, looks like 10 schools of students, so students from 10 schools, and then parents from 15 schools, in addition to the 7,000 employees. So I know that he's working with a company called Panorama to do that.
So, Doug, excuse me, just a second. So there won't be a public survey? This is just internal, basically. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know what you mean by public. So it would be go to the...
Well, I mean, students and parents, but it's not going out to just the general population.
Yeah, so last time they did 500 registered voters.
Right, that's what I was saying. You're not doing that...
We were not. And it could be where, I don't know how you could get at who's a registered voter of the parents.
Yeah, were they a parent or not a parent?
Yeah. I would think that some of the 500 we did last time would have to be parents.
Right. Correct.
But it could be this time. Maybe that's one of the questions. Are you a registered voter? You know, that could be one of the questions to get at.
So you can determine if there's a connection or... Okay.
If that's important. But his comment was... Once they come up with their questions, to bring them back so you all can look at them and see what you think.
Before it goes out?
Yeah.
Awesome.
He was going to send us the first questions.
Yeah.
So
you know, to give, you know, see what you think. But he definitely has your ones that we have given him.
Okay, awesome.
And I thought they were, and I read them too, I thought they were, again, these are the same questions from last time, were they not?
The majority, we added some.
Okay.
We did add a few that were specific to the village.
These are not all the questions from last survey, though. These are what we selected.
Agreed. Yeah, these are your 10, right? Is that how many you had?
I think, or however many.
Right.
I only had some
of that. Okay, 12. I guess there's 12. Yeah, so there's 12 questions. It looks like 9 from before and then 3 new ones, new questions to the survey. Have you worked in other districts? Did you start working for the district in the last 18 months? If so, did the additional compensation provided by the March 18 referendum factor into your decision to join the district? And your last one was impact of referendum funds. Please share your level of agreement on whether the March 18 levy of additional taxes has, and then you've given some choices. Okay. I think we're all fair questions. Good work.
Thank you very much. I have full faith in confidence. I'll vote. Any other comments on the climate survey? Everybody satisfied with the order of the report?
Do you want to get another look at it?
That's Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Chapman.
Don't look at it. That's Mr. Chapman.
Not member, Jim.
All right. Legal opinion from Jim Dye, school board attorney, read the 1 mil referendum funds.
David, can you communicate with us still?
As long as you can hear me.
Yep, we can. Just like the last time, we couldn't hear John.
You kept cutting me off.
John was on one-way communication.
You. So, I mean, I think part of that comes from Doug, some, right, you were looking at you, so if you can address that, that way we would.
I do. So I have their document, which I'll show that one down there. So this is a document from
and can you share that with?
I did. I shared it down there, so.
So he can send it to us as well.
I can. How about Pat and Bridget and share that?
If we have electronically, then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you want to give us the short answer?
Yeah, The short answer is on the conclusion on the back page.
We can share this one.
Okay.
Can I see that for a minute and see if I've got it?
The additional millage may be used for the purchase of capital equipment.
Agreed.
Okay.
Chair, may I ask Mr. Dye?
Of course, yes, you may, Mr. Ballard.
Mr. Dye's not here.
Okay.
You can ask Mr. Wagner.
A written document.
Okay. Sorry, I couldn't see him. It seemed to be pretty dark in there from my vantage point.
Yes. That was Mr. Wagner presenting Mr. Dye's document.
Ah, you're saying.
Typical attorney.
Well, I look forward to receiving that document.
We're going to have Michelle. Michelle will send it out to us electronically, David.
Wonderful.
Any other comment on it? I mean, is this...
I mean, I feel like it's definitely, you know, answers the question we've been asking. So apologize it's taking so long, but it definitely answers the question. We're moving forward on it, and... It's going to be a great year because of it. We were stuck last year with
with all the conversation about it, but
what was acceptable?
We didn't want to err on the side of, you know, making an error. So
yeah,
I feel like we have something, and we are moving forward with updating the labs now.
Okay, so based on that, when we're looking at how the expenditures are expended, we can say if they are for capital, that's fine as far as the village.
Capital equipment
for use of village dollars. Right?
Agreed.
But not capital building. The purchase of capital equipment.
Mr. Hoover?
So, did we ever spend that additional, that $2+ million? Has that ever been spent of the 5 point whatever STEM?
So the 2.2 that you're talking about was earmarked for science. A lot of that was earmarked for science. So we did take the money for the renovation for Bayshore High School science labs out of our capital expenditure budget, which is different than this money. We paid for the labs that are getting redone at Bayshore High School for science out of that. And then this funds will be used to pay for the equipment that goes in to those science labs. So if you're asking, did we get it spent before the labs were renovated, the answer is no.
I guess that maybe my question is, how much of the 5.8 million, whatever that final number was, did we spend in year one? Mm-hmm. What is that number?
So we don't have the exact number because we're trying to close out this current school year, last current school year. But if you remember, we technically didn't get the money for the millage until January. I didn't pay my taxes either until December, January. You know, so we weren't rushing to spend this money before we had it.
Was the tax, I can't remember, was the tax advancement note solely for salaries?
Yes, it was. Because they had to pay that before you received the money because the teacher started. But we didn't have to rush to spend for equipment prior to getting the money.
But was any of the $2.2 million that was spent in the first year, you know, that $2.2 million that was originally slated for Bayshore, was any of that, did end up being actually last year?
Some of the 2.2 funds were utilized to cover the holdback or of the millage. So where we had to have a fund balance of the millage. I'm not getting that title correct, but the reserve. Thank you. So some of that was used to pay down the reserve. On the all of the millage money, so it didn't have to come out of the teacher salary. And Darren, we're going to have a full accounting here as soon as they close out the book. So it wasn't, the 2.2 was never separated into a separate account. 15.5%, which was earmarked for STEM, was all in one account. And that's how we've asked not to have it set up this year. We've asked for it to be set up this year so it's broken into different accounts so we can see how much is for K-5 STEM, how much is for vocational equipment, how much is for...
Of the 15.5?
Yeah, of the 15.5. Because, how could you... So the plan is to have it be broken out, and that's how they've messaged it. It's going to be earmarked this way.
So I thought we had agreed, the administration, the board, that the 3% reserve requirement was going to be taken off the top, mm-hmm. not be taken from the STEM money. Mm-hmm. Right? Wasn't that what everyone, that was the consensus? That 3% reserve that's required on these additional funds from the millage. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to come off the top. That's what the district told us.
Well, I have no knowledge of that conversation, but I know.
It was before you started participating. Yeah.
But if you are,
you guys remember that?
Okay.
And that was the answer, right? It was going to come off the top. So, just so since you weren't here at that time, that was, you know, that money's got. So in the accounting, I would hope that 3% would come off the top, and then we'll see how everything else. As opposed to coming out of STEM.
But it, when it comes off the top, then you divide the rest of it by the percentages.
That it's salivated.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So you have 15.5% of 97%.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because, yeah.
But that decision,
I heard that 3% was coming out of 15.5%.
No, he said that it didn't come out of that, but it was the amount was adjusted after they took the 3%.
That's not what I heard him say, but we'll see. So you won't be able to get an accounting. I mean, right, wouldn't it be nice to get an accounting that shows the total final amount, which I think is $38 million and change, 3% comes off of that, and then everything else.
Income flows. And expense so. Will be provided. That's what
just
we
to make
do.
It easy so we can, yeah, that's our charge.
That's what we do. All.
Any other questions on the legal opinion?
Ask Bob when he gets back from vacation.
Any others? Alright, we'll move to new business. So, the reports from the two subcommittees that met, we need notes. So,
I just emailed them at the beginning of the call.
Okay. I haven't emailed them.
Okay, if you'll email it, Michelle, then we'll make it part of the record and we'll make it part of the minutes so that we have it just to comply.
But not in anything but
wrong. Okay, awesome. So, we'll start with data analytics.
Well, the biggest update, we went over the survey and I resubmit some of our original information requests just in hopes that we can kind of get more consistency by working with Mr. Wagner and working with the same people over and over. Or there were issues with the Taleo system and trying to pull information from different areas and measurements, and so I'd like to try to hit a refresh on that and get some more consistent information. And that was also included in a previous email last week that I believe got forwarded to the committee, but I'm not positive.
Which email was that?
In his request for information.
Right. There were two emails that I sent last week. One included the survey questions, and then one was just more broad information requests. Okay. Maybe ask Ms. Boyce to forward that email to the rest of the committee just so you guys can see what was requested. It's broken out by HR, so just questions related to teacher retention, that sort of thing.
Vacancies,
exactly. Then questions related to STEM, other programs that are related to the referendum, and just some generic information about other items that are being measured related to the impact of the referendum dollars that we might not be aware of that the district is already measuring.
So we're working on them, and there's a lot. So we're going to pull together as much information as we can. Obviously, the HR ones came from before, but that's what I think Dr. Brown had presented to this committee.
Correct. Talking about vacancies.
Yeah. So when we met with Wendy Mangello, who's over personnel, she had seen these questions and been like, yeah, no, we helped with these last time. So that's not a problem. We're working on the financial parts, too. So, soon.
Good. And it's all part of, gathering the information that we're going to be needing as the expenditures are coming. So, I think once we get started and we get comfortable where they're coming, how they're coming in, it'll make it easier. They know that we need them every quarter or whatever.
Right. And I suppose the one glaring omission is anything related to charter schools, since that was another area that was specified by the referendum, but we still haven't formalized any type of information requests to them or know their willingness to participate.
On their expenditures, because they don't break them down the same way, or they're not required to report.
I think that brings up a pretty good question. Our role as this committee, do we have a role as this committee to investigate or to report on how the charter schools are spending the money, or is it just our role to say, hey,
the district has done their job and allocated the money appropriately to the charter schools. Because if the second one is true, then this is a really simple equation.
We can get that very easily.
Right. And I would offer that, you know, the whole point of a charter school is that, you know, they are run separately or run individually is a better word. And I don't think it's in our interest to try to figure out the way they're spending the village money.
Sure. I think that we would still just want to see results. So are their grades or are their scores on the standardized tests in the STEM fields going up? That sort of thing.
They don't have to spend the money that way.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not.
But if we're aligning the goals of our committee and the referendum itself, we're saying we want to see an improvement in teacher retention and improvement in STEM areas, STEM fields. We don't need to necessarily analyze how the charter schools are spending their money and deploying those resources, but we still want to see that we're getting the desired results from however they're choosing to deploy those resources.
Are they just, I guess I'm saying, are you thinking the goal is to increase STEM awareness, and so are they producing that? They're getting money from the...
I had this conversation with the superintendent when I saw that a portion of the referendum funds were being allocated to charter schools, because I thought it would be important for the charters to have a plan for how they were going to spend funds. And I never saw anything that said in order to get these funds, the charters had to present a specific plan. And I don't believe, I mean, we have two school board members here.
There's no caveat to it, is there?
No, based on the FTE, get a portion of the
millage.
Is it wrong to ask?
I think it is because if you look at the nature of charter schools, Manatee School of the Arts is going to be using their allocation from the millage far differently than, you know, XYZ charter school that's focusing on science and technology and won't exist in it. And, I mean, we can go down that rabbit hole forever. I think it's our responsibility to make sure that the money is spent correctly as far as the school system is concerned to those charter schools. But what the charter school is using it for, you know, they're going to be judged on their success rate as a school, not on how they use the village money.
I think that the taxpayers are going to want to see a return on their investment. And we're holding the rest of the district to the standard saying we want to see these outcomes. And if we're going to include charter schools in the referendum again when it comes up for a vote.
That's right.
Why would the taxpayers vote to include them if they're like, we're just going to take the money and not tell you what we're doing with it?
This is a good question for Charlie or Dr. Hopes. Is it, were charter schools included because they had to be?
No.
Okay, so it was a choice that was made.
Well, the charter schools were included because there was an expectation that it might be challenged if they were not
But it ended up putting in alignment with subsequent legislation, because subsequent legislation that was passed last year and the year before require school districts, when they do a special tax, that charter schools are included.
But it wasn't in place before.
Chapter 1011.71, subsection 9, was amended last year to include charter schools as operational activities.
11.19, is that correct?
1011.71, subsection 9.
But it didn't include the referendum that were already passed.
Right, it didn't grandfather or retro, did it?
I don't believe that it could be applied retroactively to the referendum.
Right.
But we are in alignment by that.
The definition of school operational purposes, it includes charter schools.
But our referendum did include them nevertheless.
So let's take this to the next step. Let's move forward thinking we do want this information from the charter schools. Does this committee have the ability to ask the school system to get us any kind of specific information on the results from the charter school?
Well, if it's a state law, you have to include them. I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, they're not. We don't have any sort of leverage to
right.
say they'll be.
We'll omit them next year.
Right.
Or the next referendum, you won't be able to say.
But that's also.
We'll leave you out if you don't prove that you've used it properly.
Well, we might be putting the cart before the horse because we haven't asked them anything. So we're.
It might be simple.
We're presuming that
yeah,
they won't.
I think they'll be fine. Here's
yeah. right. a suggestion. What about asking the district whether or not the charter schools presented a plan for the expenditure of the funds? If they did, then we can ask for information related to how that plan was put into effect in two parts. Because if the district asked for plans for the expenditure of those funds, then we should be able to follow that money.
Did the district do that?
No.
No.
I don't know if they. I don't know if they did or not.
Well, that doesn't mean they didn't have one though either.
They
did. I mean,
but it wasn't contingent getting the money that
right.
you have a plan and that you implement a plan, right?
I think that they would be open to tell them.
I think that's the first step.
We should have to ask the individual charters, though. I think we should ask that question. We should pose that question.
I'm getting an answer right now. It's an accountability report, so I mean, I would include it.
I would just pose the question.
Who should ask?
I'm asking if we ask for a plan right now, so I'll have an answer in a minute. But as far as asking, can we get a plan of how they spent the money or report, I think it's a reasonable request, and we can surely ask them for that. Hey, we gave you.
You want the district to ask, or you want coming from us?
The district.
Okay.
If you're directing us to do that, yeah, we can definitely ask them to do that.
Because in a way you want to,
right?
In a way you want to know.
Can't go out.
Oh, the committee can't ask, right? So you're asking us. Yeah, we will get it. Yeah, we can ask them.
Yeah, because the board has the contract. The question should be asked because you also want to ensure that they're in compliance with the state statutes that we relied on for the tax.
Okay.
Right.
So it's a valid question.
They're required to do the same percentages.
Well, no, but under the statute that the district that the board chose to take to the voters, as you've gone through with the whole issue between construction versus capital equipment, those funds are limited to operational purposes. Mm-hmm. So it's a valid question for the district to ask how they use those dollars to ensure that their use of the dollars is in compliance with the state statute that we relied on for the tax. Because if they were to come back and say, we use those dollars to pay off our prior debt on our gymnasium, that may not be...
Central accounting. I mean,
right.
If they took their money and put it into an account...
Because I know we did, at least some of us had conversations with the charter schools about their use of the sales tax dollars. In the sales tax dollars, the district did require them to submit a grant application or something like that on how they were going to use their share of the 0.5% sales tax dollars. And so it's a very valid question for the district, you know, on behalf of the board and the board's committee
right.
to ask for a reporting on their use of those funds.
Okay. So do you need something official from
right.
us to,
yeah,
to have that?
Yeah.
All right,
I'd say if y'all make a motion and y'all agree to it.
All right. So just ask one question. Dr. Hopes, how does the statute affect what happens the next go around with these funds with regard to the charter schools?
Yeah, it's a good question because one of the sales tax, the legislature in the sales tax moving forward has additional restrictions as to when you can have the election and all that kind of stuff. I don't know with this particular tax they've done that yet. We'd have to look, but really moving forward, I mean, and this is why I think this committee is so important, is moving forward, we need to learn from the potential omissions that we had in this tax, because we were pretty definitive on how it was going to be used, who could use it,
and we found that there were some unintended consequences. That's why I think it's important to find out how all of us are using these dollars, so that when we go to the voters moving forward, that we can anticipate how those dollars need to be employed to further benefiting the students and our staff. But I think if you look at the pattern that the legislature has had over the past few years, they're moving closer and closer and closer to what I refer to on the healthcare side, where the dollars follow the patient, the dollars follow the student. And I think they're moving in a direction to put into state statutes that there's equitable distribution of the dollars regardless of where a public school student is attending a public school. And so I think it's something that we need to continue to ask that question every year. How does that apply to the renewal of this tax? Like, as you know, we brought it to this committee, the whole issue of contract schools. Right. And you know, whether that should have been included, shouldn't have been included. I mean, the mere fact is we found there was another, you know, entity. So I think that's why it's important. But I believe, and it's only my opinion, that the legislature continues to move in a way where whatever funds are generated by a school district, they are allocated proportionately to whatever entity is providing the public education for that student.
Sure. So that includes contract schools and charter schools?
I think contract schools are still a little bit different. Charter schools are truly a public school. Contract schools are either a private entity or, in some cases with juvenile justice, could be another state entity. But the definition is clear in statutes that a charter school is a privately operated public school.
So is there anything in the statute that necessarily affects the percentage of allocation, 15.5%, for the next go-around, or whether or not there has to be strings attached? No.
Not for this particular section that we relied on for this tax, but I do think the sales tax, the optional sales tax, I think they do have a proportionate figure.
All right.
Thank you.
So we do need a motion.
What is
the motion? To request to ask the district ask the charter schools for their plan and what they have used their funds for. I'll make that motion. Okay. I'm going to clean up the language. You like my bad one? No, I did too. Michelle can clean that up.
I have to put it the way that you made it. That's your motion. So.
Can you read it back?
Yeah. Motion to request the district ask the charter schools for their plan on charter on their funding received from the referendum.
So how about their 1920 plan for use of the dollars and a report on their 18-19 fiscal year expenditures?
So that's what I said. That's what I heard.
So they were told they could use it for operations. They do not have a plan. They did not have to submit a plan on how they would use it, well, according to Heather.
Our motion is to ask them for
to submit
their plan, how did they spend it.
I think, one, how did they spend it, and two, how do they intend to spend it
going forward.
David?
If I may, so I think that no matter what, in looking at, we can always ask how you intend on spending this, but I will say that the formula is already laid out in statute, so that is chapter 1002, section 33, subsection 23. That basically says for every FTE, the charter school receive a proportion of the discretionary millage increase.
But it doesn't say how they have to spend it?
Correct. It does not say.
So they're not going to.
I think it would have to still be within the authorization of the funds.
It has to be for operations.
Now, it's interesting what he just read, because the other thing you need to look at is the percentage that we're allocating them, the actual proportionate percentage that they're entitled to under statutes versus what we put in the millage referendum.
And that statute went into effect after the millage, correct?
Yes.
That's not correct. That's
not on this, not on this portion, on the one that I mentioned before.
Okay.
It, that was the case. Just
but
one portion.
You said of the required local effort?
No, ma'am.
No, the optional.
You said discretionary millage? Is that what you said, discretionary millage?
Yes.
And you are saying that a local referendum is considered discretionary millage?
The school district's current operating discretionary millage levy, it was talking about an operating millage levy, is where I'm getting that from. And this, again, this is all coming from the map analysis or the bills that may change to subsection regarding charter schools as operational. It then goes on to say why they made that change, and it was because of a case out of Indian River,
right,
in which the charter school was not allocating, or the school district was not allocating the new millage money on a prorated basis for FT.
But David, is that for the discretionary millage or the main millage?
That is for the new millage, the voted on the referendum. I think that no matter what, it's a good idea to ask someone, how are you spending taxpayer dollars?
Well,
I think we'll get into the weeds here a little bit, maybe a little bit over our heads, so I think we should just focus on the question.
But I think the question is asking
how did you spend the millage money?
How did you spend it? How do you intend to spend it?
Right. Leave it that simple?
Yeah. Yes, please.
So, and I think it's good that they provide that information. It helps highlight some great things they've done that could help.
And if they, yes. So instead of trying to figure out how we should respond if it's wrong, let's wait and see how they respond.
Yeah.
Well, also.
So do we want to clarify the motion? Michelle, would you read it one more time? No?
No.
I stand by what John said, though.
I think the motion is to ask the charter schools how they spend the referendum funds and how they intend to spend the referendum funds going
future
forward.
Referendum. Yes.
So that was
motion.
I made the motion, and are you seconding it?
All right. All in, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Anything else from data analytics?
Only other thing was Charlie Tokar passed around a handout at the end of our last meeting that we didn't get time to cover, but it's from the Florida DOE website, and it basically reports on the average teacher salary for the various districts, and the numbers that are on the DOE website seem way lower than what...
For Manatee?
Right.
Right.
For Manatee County, than what we were expecting. So I'm not sure exactly where Charlie wanted to take this, but I think it was just going to be a question of how does the Department of Education calculate these wages? Do they not take into account
the bonus,
it's not included in the, it's strictly from the salary schedule. And but I don't know what date that data is from.
Right. I don't either, based on the printout.
And I'll see if I can get that information.
What is the number that
it says survey 3 data for teacher salary, employee and experience? And it's for the 2018-2019.
So it's from, they're saying it's from last year. I got it.
I think Bob Christopher sent out an Excel spreadsheet to show that I guess calculation is 58,000.
Right, and that's kind of what he said at the end of our last meeting as well, was that his calculation showed being a lot higher, but we were just questioning the discrepancy between what the Department of Education said and what
I think the concern was that if somebody were to log on to that Department of Education website to simply take a look to decide where they're going to be applying for a job, you know, if Sarasota's number is including their millage and ours is not, that just, so I think we were just one, I think he was asking us to get a clarification from the school board what is generating that number versus what other districts are generating. That's all.
And if none of them are putting in any bonus, for lack of a better word.
I thought he had said that he would check that.
Oh.
Oh.
It probably just shows the average. Doesn't it show in the average on that sheet?
It says average teacher salary, median teacher salary, number employed.
Number of students. Yes, it only includes what's on the schedule and the supplement is not on the schedule.
But is that a reported number? Is that something that we report differently?
I know that they take all the teachers' salaries and then they do report that in their cost report to show how much we spend on teacher salary. Why it's important for us is so when we write grants, we use a number. You know, if you write a grant for a big project to the National Science Foundation or something, you're going to put staff in there. You don't know who you're hiring. So you have to use just an average teacher salary in the grant.
But do you want a low number? Or
we understand that. The difference is that what Charlie Tokart said is that number is approximately 48,000, whereas the number calculated by Bob Christopher on the average salary, fully loaded, is closer to 58,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so at worst, to John's point, if somebody were to pull up and look at the salaries for districts,
we look low.
They would conclude exactly.
Don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Poor marketing. Perhaps.
Yeah, so they're just pulling from the cost report, and
but
it says.
If it's definition driven, then that's absolutely right. They're going with the salary schedule, not costs.
But when we report out with your questions, we can surely look and do a good job of. We can research our districts around us, and we can come up with our own number of what is the beginning teacher salary.
We're not talking beginning. That's
average
not the
teacher.
Only,
okay,
that's
average.
Not the only important number because we're hiring a lot of people with experience.
And with with what their package is.
Correct. It was just something that was brought up at the end of our last meeting that we didn't have time to address, so I wanted to make sure we talked about it today.
Did this get sent out to all the
Charlie just printed it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we need to make sure that this becomes part of the record, maybe part of the notes in the record committee that comes, so that this can go out to everybody. Just like David's not here, he's not going to get a copy of it. So if we could do it electronically as well, that would be helpful for everybody. No, I heard him talking about it, but I didn't get a copy. So if we can follow up, David's not here, he's not going to get anything that came up today like the letter from my teacher. That's
right.
That's where I'm going.
So that's everything for data analytics.
All right. One suggestion. In terms of teacher meetings, if you want to start spending more time on data analytics, that's a committee. I think it would be helpful because we kind of solved the financial riddle last year to a degree.
Well, I think we can bring that in because, I thought we had great progress at the sub. When we start getting information.
Turn it off and see if he calls back.
In terms of our focus.
When we start getting information back as well.
Well, I think even on the front end, in terms of organizing, you all organizing questions, but it might be worthwhile to spend more committee time, committee focus on that because that is obviously left behind. Important bullet point, I think, for the committee, so we may want to spend more time on that as a group as we move forward.
Well, it's a joint conversation, I think, between the two subcommittees, kind of the way we did it at the last meeting.
And I was the only one not
correct.
There.
What I'm saying is at the regular committee, we may want to spend more time as a group focused on data analytics.
Well, I think when you make your report,
as you can see the financial component of it, we're getting it every 6 months. Right? So we did a report in March, April, May, we'll do another one October, November, and then you're going to have these long periods of time where we're not having new financial data to review. So it makes sense to dive into the data analytics more terms of questions that we're asking, what we think is important, what's not important, how we get at it.
No, I'm with you. I'm just, yeah. I mean, we've asked them for that, so when we get that, then we'll have it in front. We'll spend the time.
Well, I'm even saying, I don't know what questions you've asked.
You didn't get a copy of the
right.
I did not.
Okay.
No. So, as a suggestion, maybe for the October 1 meeting, as we go through the list that Bob prepared, or I'm sorry, the next
committee meeting. Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
And you may or may not have that information at that point, but.
But we can see what questions were there. Yes.
Right. Just okay. As a focus point for this year, I think the committee should try to focus more. Correct. The full committee focus on data analytics.
Okay.
So are you suggesting that the subcommittees really should be rolled into the
full I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying how are we going to spend our 2 hours in perhaps from a committee standpoint. Last year we focused more on the finances. Now we're starting to get, we'll have meaningful data. We'll come under our belt. Start to focus more on the data, on that, because it's a committee. A lot of them, more of our time. That's all I'm suggesting. I'm not suggesting we're one together.
With it over now.
We'll see what happens. I don't think there's any reason to jump to conclusions today.
All right, income and expense.
Income expense, our chair isn't here today.
Bob's not here. Last meeting, I think what we really just talked about is the setup of the presentation, the next presentation, and fine tuning that. Bob has presented some of the schedules.
We have the CAFR now.
Excuse me?
We have the CAFR. The annual financial report is available.
Okay. So when Bob gets back to vacation, he'll probably have some financial information to break down and build it to our schedule.
And then a part of the conversation was making it. I mean, not get everybody bogged down in some of the numbers.
How to make the presentation.
Right.
Reorganize it.
Yes.
Which is, yeah.
Because our next report will be the annual report.
Right.
Not, I mean, we did 6 months, and now we will have the annual.
Right.
So all those numbers for the annual will be up in 6 months. Can be
posted now.
As I said,
the books are closed, but the annual financial report is posted.
As I said, I thought the subcommittee meetings were very good.
Yeah.
Great progress. All right. Administrative matters, our next subcommittee meetings are Tuesday, October 1st at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Just so everybody has it on their calendars. I will not be able to be there. I won't even be able to get there on the phone.
Oh.
I'll be with 98 of my closest friends celebrating long-term employment. I take my long-term staff off somewhere. Every year. We're doing a barbecue on Jewfish this year.
And a retreat.
We've been asked not to come back to the Rays facility.
That just added to the golf course looks good.
Yeah, it is.
It's not an annual retreat anywhere.
You
have to go somewhere different
every
year.
So we're going to do a barbecue this year.
It is.
Because I take almost all my staff. I have a great tenure. Next committee meeting is October 15th, Tuesday the 15th at 3 o'clock. Issues there? Everybody good? All right. Agenda items for next committee meeting. Hopefully we'll have some questions answered.
With the survey.
The survey, yeah, right?
So the survey's an agenda item.
Yes.
Can we ask Kevin to attend?
We can, yeah. To get feedback. Maybe we can get the questions out if we can get them done earlier. So y'all can look at them.
That would probably be best. To ask him to come. Kevin Chapman.
So if he's got them. Beforehand, and then we can have it here at the meeting and discuss the questions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important to have ahead of time.
How about someone from HR on teacher vacancies?
Well, that's, I mean, that's, I know you guys have not seen, but that's part of the questions that Bobby sent, so.
And that got forwarded just now.
To everybody?
To everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure. Survey.
Hopefully we'll hear back from some of the charter schools at least.
So we have a different survey data analytics presentation by Bob's now.
Is that right?
All of it. Yes. The next agenda.
Second. All right.
October 15th.
Okay.
Do you have time?
Depends on what you get.
We'll find out.
Do your best.
So do we want to try to get someone from HR?
I think we should start with
well, how much response we get.
I'll leave it up in my
ear. Oh, it's not up to me.
Sure it is.
No, it isn't. Well, I think it's important, but it's not up to me. I suggested it.
I mean, our job is to get the answers for the questions and then some. So if we see other areas that we can fill in the blanks for, that's great. I do think we can put a request in the charter school to have that information. I think it's a reasonable request to have it. You know, it's like 30 days away, so we'll get that request out right away. We're working on the answers right here. I can't imagine why it would take any longer than 30 days to get information, so we need it before the meeting. So let's see how it's important for us, too, to get everything wrapped up together. So that's the goal. If
one of the other parts that I don't think I included in the original email that I sent, but it's part of the reason why I'm re-requesting this information, is definitions. So I just remember Dr. Brown saying, well, out-of-field teacher is measured by teaching this many units of something that you're not certified in. And so if we could get some definitions on these metrics that I might think it is intuitive, but then when we read how it's actually measured, it's like, okay, we actually do need to know that and document that. And so any of those where it is not intuitive, or if you think we should just have the definition in general, if you could please provide.
No, I agree. If it says out of field, that's for us, we know what that means, but I think there should be a definition.
How does the state define it?
Right, how does the state define it? Because that's how we should define it here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. I agree. And acronyms also. We use acronyms in education a lot, and sometimes they're not spelled out. So.
Right.
So now that we're past the 10-day count, does we know what our teacher vacancy is? Does anyone know that? What is their number?
There are 90-something posted, but some of those may be in the process of being filled. The principals are going to be in that, since those will all up.
Yeah, that's right. So it was, and then we've had of those, the number really is like 80. It's right around that 90. I want to say it's like 88, and then we looked at it today, and they have another.
We're rounding. I was very close.
Yeah, and then like another 20 that are in progress. So just because somebody clicks yes, we're going to hire you, they have to go through, check their certification. There's a whole bunch of other processes that they have to make sure you get the fingerprints back. Get the drug test back.
You heard 43, and then there were more units allocated because 300 showed up. So
we had more teachers,
more children.
Yeah, more kids showed up to our school.
Grows.
Now,
it's not.
And then it grows if there's more kids. You have
it's not lost.
Well, yeah, it's
right.
Okay.
Do we know how many teachers we have this year compared to last? How many more?
Well, we actually have, I think it's about 100 more. The numbers in that chart I gave you, the referendum supplement, the number of FTEs that I gave you.
Can I ask you a question? I don't want to. What about the money, the Lincoln Charter School money? Did they get that? And where is that?
What Lincoln?
I mean,
Well, they would have gotten money.
Because they're charter school. They still get that money.
But they're not charter school now.
They're still
charter school until we get the final order from the administrative hearing officer, which should be by the end of the month.
But we don't know what they used maybe that money for. Can we send them a letter?
They have bank accounts we didn't even know they had.
Okay.
I would send
the
letter.
We can ask.
Okay.
Well, you're asking every charter school.
I know, yeah. But I just thought, I was wondering where did all that money go?
I don't think we've distributed this year's referendum.
No, we're talking about accounting for last
right.
year.
Yeah, even that one.
Plan
yeah,
for
I did.
This year.
Okay. I was thinking they were in charter school.
That's the $6.5 million question.
But the district can certainly give us a plan for this upcoming year since they're controlling it right now.
Maybe they can.
Any other agenda items?
I think there's five. I just pencil them out here quickly. Okay. The survey, the presentation, the charter school request. I think the legal opinion should stay on the agenda. David has not had an opportunity to review it yet.
Okay, we can put that under old business.
He has a copy of it. He's been reviewing it while he's been, because he, I sent it to him during the meeting. Yep.
I would still just leave it on, just in case there's any additional comments.
Sure.
And then lastly, I think we'll be discussing the board presentation.
Good job.
Can I have a follow-up question?
Sure.
On Susan's question that Pat answered. So we went from 43 to 90, which may be in the 80s, but in the summer, about six, 8 weeks ago, it was reported that we were down to 16 vacancies. So what was the difference between 16 and the 43?
Well, I mean, I can answer some of that. So you staff your schools based on an estimate of how many students are going to show up in August. There's really no way to predict 100% how many are coming. So then they start coming, you start registering, and you start seeing. And then after the 10-day count, you look at your numbers, and you're like, you know, look at Gullett, look at the new high school, look at Mona Jane, look at some of the schools that you forecasted this many, and next thing you know, more people moved in this summer. And so the expansion of units is because you had more people come in your door. It's better to understaff like that, because if you overstaff and you have too many teachers and then the students don't show up, then you're faced with you've spent money, you know, having extra teachers at the schools and you don't have the students maybe. So a lot of times districts are conservative with their estimates so that they're not overstaffing the schools. It's not just teachers, it's custodial staff, it's food service workers,
Paris.
It's
paras. So, just to make sure I understand, so the 16 in the summer, basing our estimates on for the upcoming school year, but then once the school year started, it bumped up to 43, and then once we got the 10-day count, it bumped up to 90.
Yeah, and then we have some. I mean, we did have some that didn't stick. You know, they started the year, and they maybe, this isn't what I want to do.
Or
they leave.
Show after they
we do have that too, right? That does happen. So people say, I'm coming from Michigan. I'm not coming. You know, I'm not going driving down there. Forget it. So they commit.
That was only my business. Yeah.
90, 95, 100 days in a row. Forget it. No, it's
so yeah. We have that. Not only from out of state, it's people coming across the state. If they're coming from another county, they're like, nah, I just found a job here locally.
So when the district gives that 16 number in the summer, maybe there should be a qualification, because it could have turned out that was a correct number.
That could have been the real
that
number.
That is the number.
Yeah.
At that point in time, that is the number.
Do we have any way, how do we know, I mean, other than, obviously, I'm just curious, when parents enroll their kids, so what you're saying is a lot of them do it maybe a week before school even starts, after school starts.
Yeah.
Is there any way for the district to I don't know if there's a way to find out these new families that are coming in earlier.
No.
I don't know.
That's up to the families.
Yeah, nobody's calling and saying,
move it there. So, yeah. And that's a challenge. And people from up north, they start their schools way later. So they come down to Florida and they can't believe that we're starting as soon as we do.
Yeah. We usually get a bump after Labor Day because even local families hold their kids out until after Labor Day.
Yeah.
We haven't started
summer's
school.
Not over until Labor Day.
We haven't started school until after Labor Day for 20 years. That's when they're going on their family vacation. So they're going to keep their kids out.
But is the point you're getting at how to account for these like influxes of students and calculate like true teacher vacancies versus like
they don't always accelerate though. I mean you have times where you plan on this many kids and
that,
you have less.
Those are the true teacher vacancies at that moment. Right. It's not definitive. It's a snapshot.
I agree. But then when we put it on an Excel spreadsheet, if it goes from 16 to 90, the knee-jerk reaction is that a bunch of people quit. Yeah. It's not that we got more teachers.
That is the pattern if you track it. We track it over time.
But that's also the data you want to ask for is how many of these quit, retired, ever showed.
What you can see is every year in the spring, the school board approves an allocation of teachers. The administration can't go above that allocation. So what's held back is a portion of what the school board has allocated. So you can know, what do they keep in their pocket for when they have to allocate more. So they hold back a portion of that allocation because they don't know if all those kids are going to show up or not. But they thought they were going to grow by 300. They didn't know for sure they were going to grow by 300. So they held back a certain number of units to see if those kids were going to show up. Are those apartments going to get actually leased out? The ones out by Gulf? Oh my gosh, when I went out there the other day, I could not believe all that stuff was open up full. So Mona Jane, Charlotte, Harvey, all of those schools had more kids. Palmetto High, we thought they were going to lose students. They gained students, more students stayed at Palmetto than they expected. They expected them to go.
Get HR to explain the numbers. 16, we were expecting to need 3,000. And so we had 16 less. Now we need 3,100, 3,100.
That's what that word about the number that you think is the percentage. When you compare apples to apples across time.
Okay.
Right.
So how many additional?
You can look at whichever one you want to look better.
Yeah, and I wrote down some things too, just as you're talking, because I do think there's, and we have somebody who can look into the data also. How many have quit? Maybe there's a way to see how many quit in the first 2 weeks. How many quit last year, the year before, the year before? You know, I think we're looking for comparison. How many retired at the end of last year compared to the end of this year? That could also throw it into, you don't necessarily have to retire June 1st here. You can retire in August if you want. It depends on when your retirement date is. So you might have more people have retired in August, and that pushed your numbers up for teachers needing also. So it's not that they quit, they're just retired.
But we do, for the most part, know which teachers, because they're in drop, and they give a date, right, in the future, I want to retire. I mean, do they just come 2 weeks before, okay, I'm retiring in 2 weeks?
Yes, and they can extend their drop, too. So the state changes that, right, and they keep changing. So it used to be 5 years.
No, it's always been eight, but it's at the discretion of the superintendent. And this year, because of the teacher shortage, we reached an agreement that the superintendent would extend the drop for teachers who had effective evaluations. The teachers aren't out there, so we're going to keep
teachers. So
and they don't have to stay either. So her point is we have 8 is the max, and now we're hearing longer, but someone could say, I thought I was going to work this year, but you know, I want to spend time with my grandkids or whatever. There's a lot of things you hear.
Or they had help with that.
Yeah.
You
know?
But we're looking for is the millage money helping retention?
So agreed.
We do need to know the analytics of the vacancies.
Yeah.
Versus last year.
Right. And the year before.
I'm not too caught up on like these areas of giant swings, but like when we're in November, the school year's been going on for a while, how many positions have we been trying to fill for 3 months that are still
empty? That we have not.
That's a good one. Yeah, and that's even good. November's a great measure.
Okay.
Because we had openings last year in November, lots of them.
A lot more than that.
Yeah.
But the other thing that you might want to look at from year to year is the allocation. Allocation versus the vacancies.
Well, that's an idea.
Okay. So I would need help in modeling that out.
It's posted on the website, I think, the staff allocation.
So please take, Pat, if you'll take 2 minutes or whatever and explain the allocation process.
Well, the superintendent determines how many teachers we think we're going to need and how many each school is going to need. She takes that forward to the school board, mm-hmm. usually in February.
For the following school year. Okay.
And then that's how the budget for staff gets built, is what's approved by the school board for the staff allocation.
So she presents to the school board, I'm going to need X number of teachers. So I allocate 3,000. And so that's all HR is looking to fill?
Mm-hmm. No, and then she says, okay, we think we're going to really need 2,700 at the start of the school year.
Instead of 3,000.
That's a big difference. We don't actually have that big difference, but just for math purposes. So she'll hold that.
So she goes to the board and says,
no.
2,700?
No, she fills the, she posts the 2,700. She, all the teachers who are already here, plus whatever the difference is, they post. So then, after the 10-day count, looking at what's needed based on growth or attrition or whatever, then she has those extra positions that she can fill if needed.
So
she doesn't have to go back to the board because the board already...
The board allocated 3,000.
And they're built into the budget.
What are the vacancies
based on
relative
right.
to...
3,000 or
2,700?
No, they're based to what is provided in the estimate. What they
so using that example, which
no,
what? 3,027.
The 27.
So the vacancies are relative to the 2,700. That's important.
Very important.
Yeah.
Correct. And then that's what.
But we're talking 16 and 48 versus the 300.
That's what Doug was saying. It's never 300, but that's what Doug was saying to Garen about how you go from the number that he had.
Yeah.
That's how it happens, is because all those kids showed up. So now all of the allocation is now out there posted, and we're trying to fill it.
So we need to request that information.
2,700 to needing 3,000 arbitrarily.
Arbitrarily.
And now we're saying there's 90 vacancies relative to 3,000.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Which some, as Doug said, could be filling the allocation, and some could be a small number.
I think we first have to look at it quantitatively and then look
That's
at it
right.
qualitatively for all of these other nuances we're talking about.
It's very complicated because there's so many moving parts right. to have.
If we need 90 new teachers, well, who are taking care of these children right now? That's a lot of teachers if they each have 18 or 20 between themselves.
Some are in classes with subs, but the majority of them are in larger classes until the position is
done. I imagine it's only, what, a couple extra students per class? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you have 10 fifth grade classes and you have 10, you know, you have 20 students, then they're split up two extra in each class.
Okay. So that sounds like a lot of kids.
What's 3%?
Well, that's 90. And remember, it's over all grades and all subjects. It's not just one single grade level or whatever. That science vacancy, language vacancy.
Just out of curiosity, approximately, not specifics, but in like 2 months ago, what did we anticipate our student count would be at the beginning of the year, and then what was it at the start of the year? And then
I don't know the answer to that. We can ask.
We can ask. So there was 300 more students than anticipated, right?
No, it was 300 that we thought we might get, but we didn't know for sure if they'd show up.
And they did show up.
Because you're making the estimate in February, so now you're hedging. The apartments are going to get done, and there's going to be vacancies, and the housing market's not going to be too tight. So there's a lot of hedge out there.
And that's what Saunders told us when she was here at the subcommittee meeting. Lo and behold, all 300 showed up.
So 300 additional students across the board equals from 16 to 90, so about 75 spread out.
No, it's attrition. With the caveat that there could be some attrition factored into there. Remember, some people might have quit, some people might have retired, and we don't know how many are accounted for.
Or didn't show.
Some never showed. I mean, that is a fact. That does happen.
But we still need
those spots filled. And I've listed them. Yeah. Not showed.
So, that's a lot of moving parts. They are for us, because if you underestimate, you don't get the money for the extra kids to come. If you underestimate your kids and overestimate your need, either one costs you too much money and you're in the hole financially.
If you
overestimate,
you end up laying teachers off.
Yeah,
you get too
many
teachers.
Or you're in the hole. Yeah.
I don't know, just see, God, don't there's got to be a better
never,
way.
There's
to
not. This is what districts all over our state go through because of how
probably
we get our funding.
But we're
different from the rest of the country.
We're not solving that problem. No, that's not a problem. This is our business.
This is how they do it.
Yeah.
Not a problem to
them. And we're working on standard procedure.
Yes, this is our work.
And bubbles, it's not just teachers. It's such a complex problem. We're just talking about instructional staff. It bubbles over into the operations side, too.
That's right.
You staff the buildings on number of square footage for custodians. You're going to predict that this school is going to be 50%. This school shows up to be 75%. Now you're using 25% more rooms than you thought you were going to do. You can't do it with this number of custodians because now you've increased your square footage, so now you have to have more custodians.
Right.
Same with food service. You can't have the same number of food, you know, serving the food. You have to have more. So it is a big, it's a huge matrix that's used to forecast budget.
We're the largest employer in Maine.
Yeah.
So in the spring, though, when you're doing that, you know, projecting what the first year of class would be, are you somehow figuring in all the new construction? That's part of that equation.
Oh, yeah.
So where do you get that data from?
They work with the
county. Okay, so you are getting some data.
Absolutely.
About
You can only assume how many of those households are going to have children.
Right. Just because they get built doesn't mean they get filled.
Projections there, based on projections.
Yeah, and there is some science.
It's better doing nothing.
There is some science to it, but it's not science. But in the last 8 years, we've gotten so much better at it. We do transfers of staff when a school's under students and another school's over students. And it is so hard for everybody in the school when people have to transfer around after the school year starts. We've moved very few people after the start of the school year, like the last 7 years, because we've gotten a lot better.
Okay, so there was. Maybe we can get even better.
Right. We're pretty good. I'll tell you, the superintendent.
I have an I have an eight ball on my desk.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
You can say
don't let that out.
Pat, you did say get better. Did you get better by luck, or did you get better because you figured out a way?
I don't do this.
Our superintendent does.
I'm saying our district has gotten much better.
She's coming down right within a few students each time. She really does an excellent job. Seriously. And their software, too.
The union has nothing to do with estimates on students or anything else, but I've been doing
this. Tell them the credit card. Let's go.
I've been doing this long enough that I have a pretty good understanding of how it works.
All right. Any other comments from committee members?
General eight balls.
I want to give some kudos to Doug. I went to a chamber presentation that he represented and took some MTC students. I mean, you talk about letting people know that STEM money is being spent well and we're putting out and producing great grads from our technical program. It was outstanding.
Did you bring the robotic arm?
We did not.
Oh.
We did not, but it really was so good to hear students who had graduated and now they're working. And why did they stay in Manatee County? They go to school here. Why do they stay? Why do they have their families here? What is their business doing? And it was just so refreshing to hear, that people are, they love Manatee County, and this is why they love it. And these are young, young individuals who are choosing to stay here. So,
you have a police officer from Holmes Beach Police. You got a guy at AC and refrigeration that's opened his own business.
Yeah,
what he learned. I mean, it's.
Yeah, we had a nurse
and
EMT.
Was this during high school or
post? No, these were adults.
This is post.
Yeah, but we did have one.
I mean, some of them were, yeah.
One girl did dual enroll in high school and went through the welding program and graduated from high school and then right into a job at Air Products. And she loves it. And she's a welder and loves it. Yeah. And you should have heard her story.
The last person who came to work on my AC was a graduate of Palmetto High School and MTC.
Awesome. So, Doug, so refreshing.
Doug knows that this has been a pet peeve of mine with MTC. And I asked him, no, it is. We have a technical college and only 100 students are getting a certificate when they're getting their diploma. That's it. We need to increase that exponentially because we have a great asset and only 100 of our kids are getting their diploma with a certification. That we need to improve that.
Yeah, because certifications are important. I mean, a lot of people are looking at those.
But he's talking about just kids who dual enroll.
Dual enroll.
I mean, we have thousands who apply, who come through MTC, the adult students, to go there full time. So
but
Aaron's talking about the ones who dual
enroll. Because I thought we were K through 12. You know, that's what we are, K through 12, but yet the adults that are...
We're K through 20.
So.
Yeah. We're K through 20.
Yeah. Anyway. Any other comments? There's dates to remember if you would like to attend a school board workshop or a school board meeting there.
Come join me. And Norm.
I was going to say, there's usually room. And then our November subcommittee is November 5th, and the committee is November 19th. I just want to get them all on your calendars early for PM.
Thank you,
appreciate y'all being here.
That's the calendar.
Okay. Any other? If not, we're adjourned.
Thank you.